Inside Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Yep, like the dude just said, we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. So it is 3:07 PM right now. Going to the phones with a friend of mine, somebody who has been a frequent flyer on this show, who does an amazing job of fighting for issues of constitutional rights, liberty, and, you know, freedom from governmental overreach at every turn. And that's my friend Matt Clark from the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty. Matt, with himself with a law degree from Liberty University, as well as having spent time working at the Alabama Supreme Court, has now been with the Center for Law and Liberty here in Alabama, running that operation for about a year, and is doing amazing things. We're going to talk about a few things on his desk right now. Matt Clark, how you doing, man?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing well. It's a pleasure to be with you as always. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Hey, listen, I told my audience Friday, just kind of jumping right in here, I told my audience this past Friday that the Supreme Court of the United States had announced that it was going to be releasing opinions today, which is not too unusual because they do have a typical day they release on, but everybody had been hoping that it was going to be the Dobbs, the Roe v. Wade reversal, and we haven't seen it yet. What do you think?
Yeah, I was disappointed too. Up until the leak, I figured that Dobbs would be one of the last opinions that the court released this term, and that it would probably come out at the end of June. But the last time you and I talked, I mean, you had the idea, and I thought it was pretty good, that because of the leak, the justices might just go ahead and hurry up the release and send it out. Partly to stand by their opinion and also partly to send a message to the public. If you think you're going to bully us, we're just going to double down on our position. They still may do that, but they did not do that today. They released a couple of opinions, but not Dobbs. So honestly, Phil, I don't know when they're going to release it. It could be now. It could be anytime between now and the end of June. We're just going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Clarence Thomas both made comments in recent days that basically allude to the court is not going to be intimidated from doing business as usual. And so maybe they're just saying we're going to keep our usual scheduling. Then again, some speculate that maybe there is, some of this undue influence that we're seeing from the protesters may be having an effect, although I doubt it.
Yeah, I would really hope that it doesn't have an effect. I mean, number one, the issue that's in front of the court right now is whether the Constitution protects the right to kill an unborn child, and it clearly does not. It's not in the Constitution. It can't be deduced from any of the words in the Constitution. It can't be found in the longstanding traditions of our people, and it is morally reprehensible. We've lost over 60 million babies since 1973, and that statistic makes the Jewish Holocaust look like a paper cut by comparison, and that was very bad. So obviously abortion is very, very bad. Just for the sake of getting out the correct, just, and constitutionally sound result, one would hope that they would hurry up, that they would stand by the convictions and hurry up and get the opinion out. But if they cave, I'll tell you what, if they wind up caving because of the bullying and the pressure and the criticism, then not only is it going to be a miscarriage of justice and a botched opportunity to correct the worst constitutional decision of all time, but it's going to forever undermine trust in the court, because it's going to send a message that, hey, even though if we had our way and we were using our independent judgment, we would rule one way. If you show up at our house and you perpetually bully us, we'll back down and we'll do what you want. At that point, we can never have trust in the courts again. So yeah. I really hope they hold their ground.
Well, I agree with you. And, and like I said on my show, too, last week, I mean, these people that are protesting, what did you think was going to happen? We have a majority conservative court. What did you think was going to happen? And yet they're acting like this is caught us off guard. We're all surprised. Anyway, all right. Listen, Matt, I'll tell you what, we'll have to wait and see on that one. But let me go to the next topic. So Alabama recently passed one of the most conservative protection bills for children in the nation. And it was called the VCAP, the Vulnerable Child and Protection Act, I believe. And anyway, the bottom line is it's one that prevents transgender therapies and transgender surgeries on minors in the state of Alabama, even criminalizes it for some doctors. Of course, it went to court, and this past weekend or maybe Friday, Judge Lyles Burke, who's a conservative Republican appointed by Trump, he enjoined part of the law. Talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, that was a real surprise right there. Judge Burke, he is a conservative judge. I remember seeing him speak a few years ago at our Federalist Society chapter in Montgomery, and he said, well, back then he was a judge on the Alabama Court of Criminal Appeals, and he got up in front of us and said, well, I can pretty much guarantee that judicial activism is dead on the Alabama Court of Criminal Appeals. I think he meant what he said. I think he sincerely believes that a judge's job is not to say what the law should be, which is what the liberals do a lot, but to say what the law is, which means I'm applying what's there, and if you want to change it, the people or the representatives have to change the law. So, I think Burke has the right presuppositions, the right framework, and that's why it surprised me that he came out this way. Like you said, Phil, he enjoined part of the law. Fortunately, he left the most important parts intact, which is that you can't do you can't do gender transition surgeries on kids. If a kid is at school and they have they're displaying tendencies to be transgender, a school can't keep that information from their parents or encourage a child to keep that information from their parents. We've seen that happen in other parts of the country, and it's just absolutely wrong. But unfortunately, what he blocked was a part of the law saying that doctors can't give puberty blockers or, certain hormones to children that would, prevent them from maturing into their biological sex. The hormone therapy, obviously, if a boy identifies as a girl, a doctor that wants to encourage his behavior would give him estrogen to make him appear more feminine, and vice versa. So that went into effect. As I was reading the order, what I'll give Judge Burke is this. I think he was trying to issue a well-reasoned opinion. And I think, in addition, one of the things that drove this was it seemed in his eyes that the plaintiffs won the battle of the experts. It seems to him that he thought, well, you've got about 20-something medical organizations over here saying that this is actually good for children suffering with gender dysphoria, and the state only produced two experts that didn't seem that impressive. So that's a big part of the reason why he swung the way that he did. The problem is this. What happens if the entire industry goes woke or goes insane? Do you have to believe them? No, you don't. I think a lot of us are familiar with Hans Christian Andersen's tale of the emperor with no clothes. Fact that all the clothing experts went along saying that, despite the fact they had no clothes at all, that they were beautiful clothes and the crowds went along with it, it did not make it so. Neither does it make it so when the American Medical Association and lots of other industries that have been, unashamedly supporting woke causes say that giving kids puberty blockers or cross-sex hormones are good things. Well, I'm sorry. The fact that you all are insane doesn't mean I have to go along with it. That's what Judge Burke should have said.
Well, let me ask you this, Matt, and we got a couple minutes left here for the break. So let me ask you this. There was some question, though, as to whether or not they were forum shopping, because they literally had the suit filed, and then they voluntarily dismissed their own suit, but then they were reassigned back to Judge Burke on the new suit with new plaintiffs. Why was there not anything? And I even read one headline said they will likely face questions on forum shopping, but I don't recall hearing anything about it after the fact. Do you know anything about that?
The courts have flagged that, and they have set a hearing for May 20th in Montgomery, and they're ordering all the lawyers that were involved in that to come to show up in person and face questions because, they're all saying, okay, it looks like you're really abusing the judicial process here. There were, I think, two suits that were filed and dismissed in Montgomery, two that were filed and one that was dismissed up in Huntsville. So the judges of both those courts are getting together and saying, this is pretty bad. Lawyers, show up, come here, and explain yourselves because this looks pretty bad to us. So they are taking action to hold these lawyers accountable.
Okay, well, good. I'm glad to hear it. Well, listen, man, before we end our time, I mean, you're the only guy I know right now who's suing the governor. Anything to update on your current action regarding the lady's business who was shut down during COVID and then lost everything because of the governor's orders? Anything new?
Yes. Yeah, so on the one hand, we've added another plaintiff. There was a couple that ran a miniature golf course and a frozen yogurt shop that was shut down and driven out of business because of these orders, so we've added them too. The state has finally filed this motion to dismiss, and it's kind of what I expected. They're arguing things like state immunity, bars the suit, and stuff like that. We're trying to invoke the exceptions to get around it. But I really wasn't surprised by anything that the state argued. So that's eventually going to go to a hearing. Trial judge is going to rule one way or the other, and I'm sure whoever loses is going to appeal to the Alabama Supreme Court, which is where the real fight is going to go down.
All right, man. Well, listen, that's one we would definitely want to keep track of. And is that that hearing on the motion to dismiss set sometime in the near future?
Yeah, the judge actually has not set a hearing on it yet, but I'm expecting that order to come out very soon.
All right. All right, brother. Well, appreciate it. You keep us posted, and thanks for giving me some insight today on things that are literally before the bar as we speak. Appreciate you, Matt Clark from the Center for Law and Liberty, as always.
All right. Thanks, Phil. Appreciate it.
All right. All right, folks. That was Matt Clark from the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty, covering the bases on things like what's the Supreme Court going to do on abortion and why did we have part of our transgender therapies law enjoined by the federal district court by a conservative judge here in Alabama. And then thirdly, what's going on with his lawsuit against Governor Ivey for the fact that she shut down businesses, declared them non-essential, and some people lost their livelihoods altogether. Do they have a cause of action before the courts? We're finding out. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.